Tech stocks ruled today, and crude, well, that fizzled. It's the business news headlines for Monday, the 8th day of January. Thanks for being with us again today. In other news headlines, congressional leaders and funding made the news. There's also news about Nike and golf legend Tiger Woods. Gadgets are all in for Las Vegas. We'll share that story. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and the drive to expose shell companies made it. Pepsi products are taking the heat in Europe, and we'll tell you why. We've got the Wall Street Report, and empty offices is a real estate nightmare. For the interview, you'll meet Joe Murphy, the president of the Iowa Business Council, and his group's legislative priorities for the session that opened today in Des Moines. But first, the news.
Insight on business news and comment with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International, the premier interpersonal skills, research, and corporate training company. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tarot, TERO.com. Focus and Find, a high-level, socially responsible search firm helping major corporations in their search for diverse talent, FocusandFind.com. Funding also comes from the National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, an international organization supporting the new and used agricultural and construction parts industry. Learn more at ntpda.com.
Thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to this, the Monday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby, grateful as always that you've decided to spend some time with us again today. You want to reach us up there on Twitter, now known as X, it is at IOB_NewsHour on Threads. It's Insight on Business, and our Facebook page is Insight on Business, the News Hour. Well, today on Wall Street, the markets opened mixed. However, it was technology stocks that boosted the NASDAQ. At the same time, Treasury yields went south along with crude oil prices. Those stories and those numbers are coming at you in just a bit. Congressional leaders have announced a funding agreement, which is the first step in averting what would be a devastating federal shutdown later this month. The Associated Press is reporting that the agreement largely maintains spending caps for defense and domestic programs that Congress set as part of a bill to suspend the debt limit until 2025. But it does provide some concessions to House Republicans who viewed the spending restrictions in that agreement as insufficient. In a letter to colleagues, House Speaker Mike Johnson said the agreement would secure $16 billion in additional spending cuts from the previous agreement brokered by then-Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden, and is about $30 billion less than what the Senate was considering. Biden said, quote, "The agreement moves us one step closer to preventing a needless government shutdown and protecting important national priorities," end quote. Democrats also said the agreement calls for $886 billion in defense funding. It would provide $772 billion in domestic non-defense spending when including $69 billion called for in a side deal to the debt ceiling bill that then-Speaker McCarthy had reached with the White House. Well, it's official. According to a social media message by Tiger Woods, the golf legend is ending his partnership with Nike after 27 years. Woods thanked Nike co-founder Phil Knight for his passion and vision that brought them together when he turned pro. Woods wrote, quote, "Over 27 years ago, I was fortunate to start a partnership with one of the most iconic brands in the world. The days since have been filled with so many amazing moments and memories. If I started naming them, I could go on forever," end quote. Back in 1996, 20-year-old Tiger Woods said, "I guess hello world, huh?" at the Greater Milwaukee Open. Nike launched a Hello World campaign 2 days later, and Woods lived up to the hype. Within 8 months, he already had 4 wins, including the Watershed Masters victory that made him the first golfer of Black heritage to win a major. What happens now? Stay tuned. America is getting ready for the big tech gadget event, better known as CES, the Consumer Technology Association's annual trade show, full of all things tech that's kicking off in Las Vegas this week. The AP is reporting that the multi-day event, formerly known as the Consumer Electronics Show, is set to feature swaths of the industry's latest advances in gadgets across personal, tech, transportation, healthcare, and more, with uses of artificial intelligence almost everywhere you look. The association bills CES as the world's largest audited tech event held in person. Organizers hope to bring in some 130,000 attendees this year. More than 4,000 exhibitors, including over 1,200 startups, are also expected across 2.5 million net square feet of exhibit space. While it's a big attendance number, it's off by 24% from the 2020 pre-pandemic show. Big names set to exhibit at CES this year range from tech giants and automakers to leading cosmetic brands, including Amazon, Google, Honda, Mercedes-Benz, and L'Oreal. CES will run from Tuesday through Friday. The show is not open to the general public. It is a business-to-business event, often used for industry professionals to network and connect. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced that 100,000 businesses have joined a new database that collects beneficial ownership information on firms as part of a new government effort to unmask shell company owners. Yellen said the new Treasury database that is collecting beneficial ownership information sends the message that the United States is not a haven for dirty money. Yellen visited Treasury's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network in Vienna, Virginia, to discuss the launch of the database. She also spoke about upcoming real estate rules meant to increase transparency about the people and companies buying up property in the U.S. The supermarket chains in Europe are at odds with PepsiCo, or are they? Fortune is reporting that Europe's supermarkets are going to war with major suppliers in a battle over shrinkflation. But two of the biggest chains appear to be at odds over how to most effectively strong-arm companies like Unilever and PepsiCo into dropping prices. The chairman of France's biggest supermarket chain has vowed to keep stocking PepsiCo products on the group shelves days after appearing to back his main competitor's plan to scrap the products over rising prices. Last week, French supermarket group Carrefour said it was removing PepsiCo items, including 7-Up and Doritos, from its stores in France, Italy, Spain, Belgium, and in Poland. It followed a months-long tussle with PepsiCo and other brands over acts of shrinkflation, where suppliers reduced the size and contents of their items without reducing prices. Carrefour exposed PepsiCo with labels on its shelves last year, noting the product changes ahead of its annual price negotiations. It has also entered into negotiations with Unilever and Nestle after noticing similar shrinkage trends. Meanwhile, here in the U.S., shrinkflation is everywhere, and brands just hope you don't notice you're getting less, often for more. The three major averages opened mixed, but by afternoon it was all green. The Dow closed up by 216 points to end the trade at 37,683, while the tech-heavy Nasdaq rocketed up by some 319 points to close at 14,843, and the S&P 500 picked up 66 points to end the session at 4763. Pushing the markets were Apple, which announced its Vision Pro mixed reality device will be available for sale starting in early February. Boeing stock took it in the shorts, falling by over 8% to $229 a share after the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration ordered the temporary grounding of some 737 MAX 9 jets fitted with a panel that blew off an Alaska Air Group jet in midair on Friday. West Texas Intermediate crude continues its free fall after sharp price cuts by top exporter Saudi Arabia and a rise in OPEC output. Domestic crude fell by $2.79 at news time to $71.02 a barrel. The 10-year Treasury yield fell a bit to 4.015%, also at news time. And finally, there is this, and this is about empty office space. The Wall Street Journal, citing data by Moody's Analytics, writes that nearly 20% of office space in major American cities was not leased in late 2023. That's the highest level in at least four decades. The shift to remote work has played some part of the course, but so did the 1990 recession, which left offices built in the boom of the 80s devoid of tenants, a crisis that's still being felt today. And now, more than 30 years later, many of those buildings are outdated and undesirable for today's companies. It is tough being in commercial real estate. Want proof? Just ask an agent. All right, stay with us and click ahead for a conversation with Joe Murphy, the president of the Iowa Business Council, and some what we thought were surprising legislative priorities for this group of some of Iowa's largest companies. And that's a wrap for today's business news headlines. Thanks for being with us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, and the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks, oh, and by the way, go ahead, click ahead for Joe Murphy. For all those folks and Joe, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.